Hiring is challenging, especially when you're a business owner with a lot on your plate. Thankfully, there's a place you can go for help, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does the work for you to make hiring fast and easy. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Experience faster, easier hiring with ZipRecruiter. Try it free at ziprecruiter.com/zipdaily. That's ziprecruiter.com/ZIPDAILY. The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few weeks more. Head to netsuite.com/CBSNet. netsuite.com/CBSNet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning. I'm Jane Pauley, and this is Sunday Morning. Believe it or not, it's been nearly 5 years since the COVID pandemic forever changed our world. During that time, few Americans have been as talked about as much as Dr. Anthony Fauci. The nation's former top infectious disease expert has been both lauded and condemned, most recently just a few weeks ago before a congressional committee. This morning, he's talking with our Dr. John LaPook about that hearing and about the often contentious times that came to be part of the job. But first, today, of course, is Father's Day, and we have stories ahead of dads and children, including Lee Cowan's tale of a son who went searching for his biological father and wound up with the surprise of a lifetime.
We're evolving how DNA shows who you're connected to.
These days, with all the commercial DNA tests out there, it's pretty easy to find out just where you came from. But what happens when our DNA has a story we're not sure we want to hear?
I mean, we are constantly summoning up references to our parents, whether they're present or not.
I guess we all have secrets.
A journey to find a father with both heart and heartbreak ahead on Sunday Morning.
Kevin Costner has done just about everything in his career as an actor, director, and producer in Hollywood. But he's never faced a challenge quite like the one Tracy Smith will tell us about.
Welcome.
To make 1990's Welcome. Dances with Wolves, Kevin Costner kicked in more than $2 million of his own dollars. But that's chump change compared to what he's pouring into his new four-part epic.
How did it grow from one to four parts?
I wasn't done.
And by the way, you're not receiving compensation right
no.
now.
No, I must sound like a genius.
I'll probably.
Kevin Costner goes for broke ahead on Sunday Morning.
Pete Buttigieg rose to national prominence back in 2019 as the first openly gay candidate to launch a major presidential campaign. Since 2021, he's served as Secretary of Transportation. But at home, Jonathan Vigliotti has discovered Buttigieg has an altogether different title, Proud Papa.
So this is the national aviation system.
No matter how much power and confidence you convey in Washington.
Look, it's an airplane.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg knows.
Not impressed?
nothing is more humbling than wrangling a pair of toddlers.
These are some of the best and most important parts of your life, not just your day.
Family values beyond the Beltway, later on Sunday morning.
As we ease into summer, Califasane hits the road with country superstar Luke Combs, who talks about his mega-hit recording, Fast Car, and more. Bridgerton star Jonathan Bailey tells Michelle Miller just how he's become the master of on-screen romance. And with the Tony Awards tonight here on CBS, Mo Rocca visits with Broadway legend Bjork Lee, whose career spans more than 7 decades. It's a Sunday morning for Father's Day, June 16th, 2024. And we'll be right back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You get too many resumes and not enough qualified candidates, but not with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds amazing candidates for you fast. ZipRecruiter's technology starts showing you qualified people for your job immediately. Ditch the other hiring sites and let ZipRecruiter help you find the needle in the haystack. Try it free at ziprecruiter.com/zipdaily. That's ziprecruiter.com/ZIPDAILY.
Sound the gifting panic alarm. We've all been there. You need to find the perfect gift. You have absolutely zero ideas and you don't know where to start. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. Just answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like, and Gift Mode gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Imagine pages of artisan espresso mugs for the coffee connoisseur in your life, or for the pickleballer, customized paddle covers in every shade imaginable. Etsy's got you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
On this Father's Day, Lee Cowan has a story about a man whose search for his biological father led to revelations that were far more surprising than he ever dreamed.
This tale, like so many good yarns, begins with baseball.
Love that inside pitch.
Matt Katz is a lifelong Mets fan. Playing ball with his son Ruben is what Father's Day memories are made of. But growing up, Matt's experience of Father's Day was about as complicated as a triple play.
Did my birth father like baseball? Does he like baseball? And because I had, for many years, no contact with my birth father, I would wonder about like little things like that.
Matt was raised by his Jewish mother, Roberta, and Richard, his Jewish stepfather.
As far as I'm concerned, he is my son.
His father was out of the picture, and he felt rejected.
And he tried to mend that?
He did. He tried to see him, but it didn't work out.
No matter how much of a dad I am, he still needed to know where he came from.
But as a boy, Matt rarely got any answers to that question.
Why isn't he interested in hanging out with me? Why isn't he interested in knowing me? Where is he?
When he was about the age his daughter Sadie is now, Matt noticed something.
I look different from other people in my family, and also a little bit different from other people at Hebrew school. I had lighter features, redder hair.
My elderly grandmother was like, no, he's not Jewish.
Deborah, Matt's wife, is of Ashkenazi Jewish descent. So is Matt's mom, and so is his presumed biological father. So where in the world did the fair features come from?
I took a DNA test, as did my wife, just to see if we could, you know, figure out a little bit more about our people.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting to find out I was 100% Jewish.
And instead?
Instead, I found out I was just half Ashkenazi Eastern European Jewish. And I was half Irish.
I'm not saying that.
It seemed inconceivable, and yet it sort of made sense, too.
I would look at myself in the mirror and be like, wow, you know, holy crap. You do look like a half-Jewish, half-Irish guy.
Just like a four-leaf clover, his family tree started to blossom. He found out that he had 3 half-siblings as well.
It's like wild to be like middle-aged and like all of a sudden have sister-in-laws and cousins, and I mean, that never existed before.
But here's the thing. None of them knew their dad either. But one of them knew something the others didn't.
She tells me that she was conceived via sperm donor.
Which likely meant Matt was too.
So you get this information, and then you got to have a pretty awkward conversation with your mom.
Yes.
Right? How did that go?
I was very nervous about it.
Now, we should preface what follows by saying Matt is a Peabody Award-winning journalist at WNYC Public Radio in New York.
The Manhattan District Attorney's Office announced that...
He's used to tracking down answers. He's used to asking tough questions, but not of his own mother.
Yeah, I remember sitting on the couch, and he prefaced the conversation with how much he loves me and how much he loves Richard, and then he threw the bombshell.
I said, did you ever get fertility assistance when you were trying to have me? She says, yes, they tried to get pregnant for many years, and it was hard.
She said they had indeed gone to a doctor who discovered the problem wasn't her, but him.
I wasn't hiding anything from anyone. The only thing I was hiding was the fact that I had artificial insemination, but I thought it was with my former husband, so.
And then I told her, well, that's not what happened. It was donor sperm that you were inseminated with. And she put her hand over her mouth, and I think she might have used the S word.
Once all of us were conceived in the same manner, then came new reproductive methods.
What Roberta didn't know is that back then, doctors treating male infertility would sometimes mix a husband's genetic material with an anonymous donor's, ostensibly to help improve the couple's chances. Now, Matt was born happy and healthy. But the secrecy of it all left him in the dark about his true dad and his mom wondering with whom she had had a child.
Do you wonder about him?
Yeah, I do. I could have walked down the street and he could have been there and, you know, I wouldn't have known.
He was a shadow from 1970s Manhattan, a ghost who, it seemed, didn't really want to be found. Some of Matt's friends even questioned if Matt should keep trying.
The devil you know might be better than the devil you don't, right? You had no idea where this was going.
No, there's a risk there, right? You don't know what you're going to find. You don't know if there's more hurt.
These look like mathematical calculations on how to get to the moon.
Right.
But Matt and his half-siblings doubled down. A professional DNA sleuth was brought in. And eventually, a picture turned up of a man with the same long face, same eyes, same hairline as all of them. His name was Vincent McNally. But Matt needed more proof.
He had to have been in New York City on the day I was conceived.
Sure enough, in an old 1976 New York City phone book, a Vincent McNally was listed with an address in Greenwich Village. It was just brick and mortar, but to Matt, it was gold.
I mean, I feel it in my body. I do.
Yeah.
I feel like a sensation. He was here and he was in my presence in some way.
That's Vincent McNally in costume. Turns out he was a professional stage actor. He donated sperm as a way to earn extra money. Matt found pictures of him, theater reviews, and playbills, including an eerie description of one of his final performances.
And one of those plays, his estranged children, adult children, come back and find him.
Lollipop. But the ghost Matt had been chasing all his life eluded him one final time. Just before Matt was going to call him to tell him the news, he found a death notice. Vincent McNally had passed away just 4 years prior.
Maybe we were never supposed to meet in person.
Just yesterday, Matt celebrated his daughter's bat mitzvah. Two of his three half-siblings were there too. The blending of a now extended family, long overdue. His smile makes it clear that Matt has finally made peace with his past. In part, he believes, because talking about it has been healthy. He turned his journey into a podcast, Inconceivable Truth.
I don't think it's my father.
Holy s***.
That's found an audience of other people whose ancestry search is still ongoing. For Matt, he's just thankful for the stepdad that he's celebrating on this Father's Day. The only man, it turns out, in Matt's life truly worthy of the title dad.
You don't need to keep searching anymore.
I don't, but I can keep telling the story because it's a cool story.
It was the moment at this year's Grammys. Country music star Luke Combs singing alongside 1980s icon Tracy Chapman on her song Fast Car. Their performance went viral, but as Kalafasane explains, there's a lot more to Luke Combs than that night at the Grammys.
You know what, I'd love to hear you sing along.
He's one of the biggest names in country music. But Luke Combs knows that his rendition of an 80s classic has earned him another title.
You got a fast car, and I want a ticket to anywhere.
Oh yeah, Luke Combs, Fast Car.
The Fast Car guy, the
he's
guy
got,
that
he's
covered
got some
Fast
other songs
Car.
Too,
he's
right?
got some other songs, yeah.
A lot of other songs, and enough fans to fill this Super Bowl-sized stadium two nights in a row. In less than a decade, Combs has topped Billboard's country airplay chart 17 times. He's known for his big voice, his catchy choruses, and his down-to-earth attitude.
Who are you to your fans?
Gosh, man, I'm really not very different than them, you know? Mm. I'm a decently average-looking guy to below-average-looking guy, okay? Let's be honest here, you know what I mean? I don't take myself too seriously.
A Luke Combs concert has no pyrotechnics and no costume changes, just a guy in a black fishing shirt.
When I started playing music, it was me and a guitar and a song and somebody that wanted to hear it. Hmm. Whether that was three people in my living room or 50,000 people 50, in a stadium.
000.
It's always been about the connection between me and whoever's listening.
Combs, 34, grew up in North Carolina, an only child crazy about music.
As long as I can remember, I've just been singing.
You got a fast car.
It was just constantly listening to music and singing along to stuff on the radio and being in chorus class. I just enjoyed that.
I get carried away by the look.
I started learning guitar at 21, and by 22 I had played a show and just became like, this is the avenue that I want to take in my life, you know, and it didn't come easy. I wrote a lot of bad songs, but I just enjoyed the process so much that it never felt like work.
He moved to Nashville, where he played every bar that would have him and tried to get the attention of record executives.
Did you never get discouraged? Like, man, these labels are never going to sign me.
Man, I did, and I think the thing that was the most discouraging was I felt like at that time, I'm not getting passed over for, like, my ability. Mm. Like, I'm getting passed over because, like, I don't look the part. That was frustrating, but I never let it bum me out because I was happy doing what I wanted to do, and regardless of anyone else's opinion, I was making a living, I was doing it. Like, I'm a college dropout, mm-hmm. I'm here, my parents aren't paying my bills, like, I'm doing it.
Then you rode in with your hair in the wind, baby, without warning.
And what that ended up meaning was that when you get signed, when you get a single put out and get on the radio, you were ready. The Luke Combs thing just takes off immediately.
It happened.
Song goes to number
it
one.
Went. It, yeah.
Next one goes to number
it
one.
It happened, man.
Next one.
Luke Combs!
The Country Music Association named him Entertainer of the Year twice in a row. But for him, the biggest honor was the chance to sing a song he has loved all his life with the woman who wrote it.
I'm at the Grammys, dude. Like, I'm singing Fast Car with Tracy Chapman.
On a big
what is
stage.
Going on, dude? Like, Taylor Swift is bopping to me singing Fast Car, dude. What is happening, dude? stick a fork in me, dude, because I'm done. Like, I'm so good with that.
All right. See you down there.
Combs lives outside of Nashville.
You feel more at home in one of these or in a tour bus?
Oh, gosh, one of these for sure.
Where he and his wife, Nicole, are raising their two boys.
I hope he never finds out that I didn't hang the moon.
They inspired his new album, Fathers and Sons.
Every song has something to do with fatherhood or, you know, being a son or being a dad.
It's There's a concept some, album.
In some ways, like, it's a way less smart concept album, you know?
Maybe I'll finally be the man he sees me.
For Luke, it was an opportunity to pay tribute to his father, Chester Combs.
My parents both worked 50 hours a week. You know, my dad was essentially a maintenance man. You know, he was a very creative guy that was trapped in the blue-collar world.
Luke's dad was surprised but supportive when he said he wanted to be a singer.
He was excited about me pursuing something in the creative field, but he was also pretty realistic about how difficult it would be to achieve that.
It might work out.
He says he's open-minded about his own sons, Tex and Beau.
But I love whoever you turn out to be.
Whatever they decide to pursue or whoever they decide to love, it doesn't matter to me. Like, as long as they're happy and they're fulfilled in their life, like, that's what I care about.
Beautiful, crazy.
Of course, what he's chosen is a life on the road.
Obviously, I'm gone 3 days a week, but I want them to know that even with my career at the biggest probably that it will ever be, that they were my number one priority.
We played in Australia, we played in Europe, we played in Canada.
The irony of your life, right? Uh-huh. That you're leaving home, you're traveling all over the world, and singing songs about your life back home.
Yeah. It's exciting to go get to play shows, but I dread leaving them and my wife. I know I'm going to go live my dreams and do everything that I ever wanted to do, but sometimes everything you ever wanted to do changes.
And so Luke Combs splits his time between family and football stadiums. Not bad for a not-so-regular guy in a fishing shirt.
You know, I'm just really thankful that people have found something about me that they love. And whatever that is, I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, I'm still one number away. Thank you.
This summer, let your imagination soar by listening on Audible. Whether you listen to stories, motivation, expert advice, any genre you love, you can be inspired to imagine new worlds, new possibilities, new ways of thinking. With Audible, there's more to imagine when you listen. And speaking of listening, you can listen to the best-selling fantasy romance, A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas, right now on the Audible app. Transport yourself to a realm of magic and curses, all from the comfort of your living room. As an Audible member, you choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you in part by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some performers just have it, that irresistible quality, difficult to explain, but impossible to miss. Well, audiences seem to agree that Jonathan Bailey is most definitely one of those performers. He's in conversation with Michelle Miller.
Let your mother stay a little.
I do not want to speak to my mother a moment longer.
From his turn as a Bridgerton heartthrob to the electric love scenes with co-star Matt Bomer in Fellow Travelers, actor Jonathan Bailey seems to have mastered the art of the on-screen romance.
You and this damn chemistry, you seem to have it with everybody you're in a space with. We have chemistry.
We've got chemistry.
We've got major chemistry.
We met the British actor in his hometown outside Oxford to discuss, among other things, that chemistry.
And I should like to use that moment to dance with my beautiful wife.
Which is at least partly responsible for his career-altering role in Netflix's smash hit, Bridgerton, now in its third season.
To be able to go from Bridgerton and then to go straight into a sweeping gay love story in this way is just the first step. And the idea that it's even possible is great.
That sweeping gay love story takes place in 1950s Washington.
The pervert is easy prey to the blackmailer.
Senator Joseph McCarthy wasn't just after communists. His congressional witch hunt also targeted government employees suspected of being gay.
We should not be disturbed about people because of their morals.
We're disturbed about them because they are dangerous to this country.
This dark chapter in history is the subject of Fellow Travelers, which explores the fictional love affair between two closeted Capitol Hill staffers at the height of McCarthyism and the so-called Lavender Scare.
What that meant for a community was kind of lost at that time because it wasn't really talked about.
It was quiet.
Yeah.
In
secret. It was completely suppressed.
10,000 people.
Taking their own lives, losing their jobs, losing the respect of their communities, of their family.
Being outed.
Being outed.
A lot has changed. Bailey and his co-stars in Fellow Travelers are openly gay. But the Lavender Scare helped shape lasting cultural attitudes towards homosexuality in America.
When you hear McCarthy's speech and the rhetoric that they used in 53, saying that they were weak and a threat to our nation, it sends shudders through my body, but there is also an empathy to people who would have therefore had a completely confused understanding of the gay experience, that it was something that should be demonized or seen as a choice or a threat to society.
The series, streaming on Paramount Plus, a division of our parent company, weaves the gay experience through the civil rights era, Vietnam, and the AIDS crisis. But at its core is a love story.
I never loved anyone but you. You were my great consuming love.
You do romantic leads rather well.
Thank you.
You do a lot of romantic leads.
I have
whether
done.
It's gay romantic lead, heterosexual romantic lead.
Yeah. It's funny. I guess the exploration of romance, I think I found really fascinating. If there's something happening between two people, it's really exciting to play that.
Growing up, he played the role of theater kid. Not pushed by his parents, he says, but by his own passion for acting, singing, and dance.
So I was down to play basketball, but the ballet classes were happening in here. I was obsessed with everything that was going on in here.
He joined the class and was at first, he says, blissfully unaware of how others might see it in a negative light.
I just had this sort of boundless enthusiasm for it. And testament to my parents, I wasn't hyper aware of the fact that I was the only boy in, you know, 50 miles who was wearing a leotard, and I loved it.
But you stopped ballet.
I did.
Why?
Well, it became clear when I was 13. I remember I brought a friend home staying for the weekend. I was like, dude, yeah. So basically, yeah, we're going to do that. But before that, I've just got to pop in and just take one photo with so many girls. It's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. Cut to me in a leotard going. And all these women, these girls around me. And I thought this was like...
cool.
Mega. And I just remember clocking his eyes across the room. And it was that one moment in me that I went, oh, this isn't actually the right thing I should be doing. I just suddenly became aware of a story and a narrative that was put on something that I was so passionate about. So I actually decided not to continue with the dance. But I was acting and singing.
What pulled you back in the direction of this is who I am?
It's about masking, isn't it? Like, what are you prepared to continue to fight for. And for me, it very quickly came obvious that I wanted to be completely authentic.
And there was always horses there. There was a lone donkey.
That authenticity has served Jonathan Bailey well. He went on to acclaim performances in everything from Shakespeare to Sondheim, including a London revival of Company, earning him a coveted Laurence Olivier Award.
A lovely and celebratory snapshot of gay love.
Bailey is now set to star in the Jurassic World film franchise.
That was you who made all that happen.
And has a lead role in Wicked, the star-studded movie adaptation of Broadway's long-running musical, out later this year.
To dance and to sing is, you know, is a dream come true. And when I met John Chu, the director, we talked a lot about actually growing up and about dance and what it meant. And to play a character who literally dances through life is now, you know, that is full circle.
A full circle moment and a nod to a childhood passion that persisted.
A hero to some, a villain to others. Perhaps no figure to emerge from the COVID pandemic is as controversial as Dr. Anthony Fauci. So how did an 83-year-old infectious disease expert become such a lightning rod? Dr. John LaPook starts at the beginning.
My bedroom was right there. My sister's bedroom was right there. And the pharmacy front was right here.
Those he calls friends call him Tony.
13 and 33rd, yeah.
Say that again.
13 and 83rd.
You know you're from Brooklyn.
And growing up here on 13th Avenue in Diker Heights, Brooklyn in the 1940s and 50s, Tony Fauci was the precocious son of the corner pharmacist.
They call him Doc. The pharmacist back then served as the neighborhood psychiatrist, marriage counselor, so it was serving the community.
Though the Fauci pharmacy is long gone, beneath the calm facade Dr. Anthony Fauci has shown the world for more than 50 years, he is still, as he says, Brooklyn tough.
You got into fights?
Yeah, of
every
course.
Now and then?
How could you not?
How'd you do?
Well, I'm not the biggest guy in the world, so.
But at 5'7", you were the captain of the basketball team.
At 5'7", I was the captain of the
basketball. How'd you do that?
I was very fast and I had a really good shot.
What killed your NBA career?
I found out that a very fast, good shooting point guard who's 5'7 will always get destroyed by a point guard who's 6'3. That became very clear.
So you had to settle for medicine.
So I said, oh, let me just settle for science, whatever.
There are millions today who owe their lives to the work of the man who settled for science. And as he chronicles in his new memoir, On Call, Dr. Fauci's career treating infectious diseases at the National Institutes of Health has been bookended by the two great pandemics of our time, AIDS and COVID-19.
Federal health officials consider it an epidemic, yet you rarely hear a thing about it.
When it first widely appeared in the early 1980s, a diagnosis of HIV/AIDS was a death sentence.
Looking at your background, you were brought up in Brooklyn in the 40s, kind of a conservative family.
Yeah.
You might not necessarily predict that you would then go on to treat a group of people who were kind of shunned by society. What went into that?
What it was that one of the predominant themes in my home, which was fortified with the Jesuit education, was empathy. My father was quite conservative, you know, an Eisenhower-type Republican, as was my mother. But my father was very, very much guided by empathy for anybody.
Although empathy for AIDS patients was in short supply, and he was criticized early on, Dr. Fauci used his position at the NIH to lobby the White House for funding and national attention. He worked with seven presidents on AIDS, bird flu, swine flu, Ebola, Zika, and COVID. An AIDS program started with George W. Bush has saved an estimated 25 million lives worldwide. With Bill Clinton, he established the NIH's Vaccine Research Center that laid the groundwork for the record-breaking development of COVID vaccines during the Trump administration. But that last collaboration hit a wall.
That brings us to April 3rd, 2020. That was the day President Trump had a press conference and he said, things have changed and the CDC is now recommending that people wear masks.
Right.
And then he added,
this is voluntary. I don't think I'm going to be doing it.
I was deeply disturbed by that because he had the opportunity as the leader of the country with a very strong, devoted following to say the CDC has recommended masks and I'm going to wear a mask because masks are going to protect me and protect others. That really was a missed opportunity because that was a signal to his devoted followers that you don't really have to listen to the CDC. You don't have to listen to the public health messages.
As the country's willingness to follow public health advice largely split along party lines, Dr. Fauci came under attack.
During COVID, you actually received death threats. Has that ever happened before?
No. Not credible death threats where a person is arrested who was clearly intending to kill you. And that's happened at least twice. We're acting like we have a virus that's the common enemy and we're fighting with each other.
Do the American people deserve to be abused like that, Mr. Fauci? Because you're not doctor, you're Mr. Fauci in my few minutes.
Earlier this month, Dr. Fauci was called before a Republican-led congressional committee to discuss pandemic origins and preparedness. But things quickly spun out of control.
What this committee should be doing, we should be recommending you to be prosecuted.
How did we go as a country from absolutely adoring Jonas Salk, who helped develop the polio vaccine, he was a national hero, to Dr. Anthony Fauci having to have security details to stop people from killing him?
It's a reflection of the psyche of the country. If the purpose of the hearing is to figure out how we can do better to prevent and respond to and prepare for the next pandemic, that doesn't even begin to contribute to that.
One of the deepest points of controversy is the still unknown origin of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that caused the COVID-19 outbreak. Because the NIH has funded research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, there are accusations that American tax dollars could have paid to create SARS-CoV-2 through genetic manipulation, what's called gain of function.
Isn't really the issue behind all of this controversy that those coronaviruses, the ones that were funded by the NIH, were somehow fiddled with to turn it into the virus that causes COVID-19. Right. Is that biochemically, genetically possible?
No. When you have a virus, if you're going to manipulate it in a way to make it a dangerous virus, you have to start off with a precursor virus that's close enough to the virus that you ultimately make that it is molecularly possible to do that. What is absolutely 100% certain is that the viruses that were studied under the NIH grant for the kinds of experiments that were done molecularly were so far removed from SARS-CoV-2 that they could not have turned it into SARS-CoV-2, even if they tried, which they obviously didn't do. But it was just so what we call phylogenetically distant.
Which means the public doesn't know that.
The public doesn't know what phylogenetically distant means. But what it means is that evolutionarily it's so far, it would take 20 years of evolution to get it there. And that's something that just slips between the cracks when people talk about it. What we're talking about is what the NIH funded was viruses that could not possibly have done that.
None of us can know everything that's going on in China or in Wuhan or what have you. And that's the reason why I keep an open mind as to what the origin is.
COVID origins aside, Dr. Fauci has been subjected to other accusations.
People have accused you of, you know, getting all sorts of money from pharma and this, that, and the other thing. You have been offered money to leave the NIH, right, and join, say, pharma, right?
Right, or private equity.
Or private equity. How many times your current salary have you been offered, about?
So at the time that I was getting offered it, I was making $125,000, $200,000, and I would get offered a job that would get me $5, $6, $7 million a year. So
why didn't you take it?
Because I really felt what I was doing was having an impact on what I cared about, which was the health of the country and indirectly the health of the world, then to me, that is priceless.
There have been ups, there have been downs.
Right.
It's been a lot of friction recently. Any regrets?
No. No. I mean, when you say regrets, any regrets of what I did, my choices? No. Could we have done things better on multiple points, inflection mm-hmm. points along that way? Of course, because we're not perfect. You try your best and you realize with humility that you're not perfect. And you don't pretend to be perfect, but you go with what your best is. And then if you make a mistake, you try to correct it.
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything, from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As an Academy Award winner and star of the hit series Yellowstone, Kevin Costner is no stranger to epic filmmaking. But now, as he tells our Tracy Smith, he's tackling a tale so ambitious, he needs 4 movies to do it justice.
Action Abbey.
When Frank Sinatra sang My Way, he could have been singing about Kevin Costner. The Oscar-winning actor-director is at work on his most ambitious project to date, a 4-part saga of the American West. And just like old Blue Eyes, he's doing it his way. By the way, Sinatra liked to have a little fun with reporters, too.
Looks like you did your homework.
I did.
I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, I wonder what I was supposed to be doing.
It's nothing you can't answer.
Right. Show the people just for a second. Now I have to deal with this.
So you've finished shooting parts 1 and 2. You're in the middle of 3 and 4. Your baby part 1 is about to be born. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm like a wagon headed west, too. I've just run into everything that you can imagine. I have to hold onto the rope because I got this pact with the audience that I'm going to give them something. I want them to go west.
Go west, indeed. Costner's Horizon, an American saga, is spectacular in every sense.
Why don't you help her?
There are 4 parts, each one feature length. And Costner says he put his own money, $38 million, into the project so far.
I just hear, I don't know if you've seen the producers, but I hear Nathan Lane's voice saying, never
put your own money,
in the show.
No, it's true. But it's not true for me. You know, conventional wisdom, right? What if everybody's wrong?
And you can practically see where all the money goes, especially if you happen by one of Costner's shooting locations, like the one he showed us outside of Moab, Utah. Around here, it's not so much a movie set as a time capsule. Every detail is accurate, down to the doorknobs.
Do you feel like the setting is a character too? The town is a character?
Yeah, no, you want to create an environment that's authentic, so it's an important piece.
You and I are standing guard in one of the last great open spaces.
That looks like a promising place.
The place I might be able to see myself.
The story is authentic, too, about the lure of the Old West and the tragedy of the people who lived here first.
That these towns, they weren't like mushrooms. They didn't just pop up. They were fought for. This land was contested. And it was always an ugly finish for the Native Americans, always. And so those are themes that
while I'm embarrassed by that, kind of ashamed of how it went down, I'm also not afraid to talk about it. I like it.
Yeah, and there's a story there. There's a hell of there a story
be.
There.
There can be.
Let's roll, camera.
Costner's own story is pretty epic as well. His directorial debut was 1990's Dances with Wolves, and he had to put his own money into that one, too. When it premiered, the New Yorker film critic Pauline Kael called it childishly naive, but Costner had the last laugh.
Dances with Wolves, Jim Wilson and Kevin Costner.
The film won Best Picture, and Costner took home Best Director as well. Costner's made other big movies, of course. You might know him from a few baseball films in the 80s, but it seems he's always felt comfortable in a cowboy hat.
Nothing happens in this valley I don't know about.
He helped make Taylor Sheridan's Yellowstone a monster hit for our parent company, Paramount. But that's over now. Maybe.
So tell me, did you have to leave Yellowstone in order to complete Horizon?
No, I did everything that I was contracted to do with Yellowstone.
Would you like to go back?
If I liked the story, where it was going, I would go back.
And you get up there and get him.
But right now, he has his sights set on something else. Horizon Part 1 is in theaters next week. Part 2 comes in August. And Parts 3 and 4 are due sometime after that.
How did it grow from 1 to 4 parts?
I wasn't done. You know, I mean, listen, how one became four, even I kind of go, really, Kevin? But it's so good right now. I really love it.
Tomorrow, you be aware of the time. I want you to draw your water and get your team hitched ahead of all these others and don't stop anyone asking for help.
Costner says he's had this story in his back pocket for 3 decades. So why did he make these films now? He says the young man in this scene, his real son, Hayes, is a big reason.
Nat, come, Nat.
It's all right. You're going to be with Dad.
No,
I saw Hayes at 13, and I said, I got to do this movie.
It was your son?
Yeah. I said, I want him in that movie. I'm going to make it.
And that was it?
That was it.
The film's debut in Cannes last month earned him a standing ovation and also drew some less than glowing reviews. But to 69-year-old Kevin Costner, making the movie is worth anything and everything.
Will you ever put your money in a project again?
I probably will. I in the world of business of movies, I don't think I should have to. But the reality is, if nobody wants to go fishing with me, I'm going to go anyway.
If you have any money. No, you will. You will.
No, that was mean. No, I'm teasing you.
Sorry.
It's okay.
You just said it right up there.
If I have any money. I know, one more good deal, I'm out of business.
Now he's hoping crowds will line up, like fans who got a sneak peek on Tuesday at Joint Reserve Base, Fort Worth, Texas.
Mr. Kevin Costner.
He's still raising money for parts 3 and 4, but like a famous cowboy once said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway.
This is the hardest thing you've ever done in your life?
It has been, and it continues to be. You know, if I hear the word billionaire one more time, I think I'm just going to roll over, because I don't have that kind of money, and I believe in this enough to just go, shh. So, you know, all these guys, all these scaredy cats, it's probably why they have so much, because they're smart and they hold on to it. I'm not that. I just really believe in the idea of what this can be, and so I just keep pushing it.
MassMutual knows that finances can lead to uncomfortable conversations.
We should talk about our finances.
Sure. How about Friday evening?
Soccer practice. Saturday morning?
Soccer game. Maybe Wednesday night?
Girls' night. How about Thursday?
Guys' night.
Let me see your phone. So next time we're both free is 3 months from now.
According to Calendar.com, the average American schedules less than 4.5 hours a year for finances. Your finances deserve more. Go to MassMutual.com today. Feel comfortable about tomorrow.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At age 42, Pete Buttigieg already has held a number of important titles: mayor, presidential candidate, and for the past 3 years, Secretary of Transportation. And as Jonathan Vigliotti found out, he's recently added a new one: Papa.
Who's ready for pancakes?
When it comes to a pair of toddlers, Pete Buttigieg, the seemingly unflappable Secretary of Transportation, looks...
Do you want me to cut your pancake?
A little jet-lagged.
What did the kids call you?
Oh, I'm Daddy.
I'm Papa.
Yeah.
Who is good cop? Who's bad cop?
I don't know if we have it down to good cop, bad cop.
I think the face of Chasten says something else.
Really?
I mean, I think of myself as the bad cop. You think I'm a pushover, don't you?
You are 100% a pushover.
That's not right.
The good cop and his husband, Chasten Buttigieg, raised their 2-year-old twins, Penelope and Gus, in Traverse City, Michigan.
Oh, yeah, you got muck.
Yeah,
sand and muck.
They recently moved here full-time from Washington to be closer to family.
Mom, I found a stick.
You found a stick, yeah.
Their journey to parenthood began 9 years ago.
Our first date.
The first date.
Well, you brought it up on our first date.
I did, yeah.
I was still figuring out dating, period, when we had our first date. It wasn't just my first date with Chasten, it was my first date with a guy.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, it's not necessarily true.
The two married in 2018. A school teacher and a hyper-driven Harvard grad, Rhodes Scholar, Navy vet, and mayor of South Bend, Indiana. A year later, he launched his history-making run for president at the age of 37.
I am a proud son of South Bend, Indiana, and I am running for president of the United States.
I think the presidential campaign aged our marriage 5 years. So by the time it was over, it was ready. I think we both really understood that we were ready to start a family.
They chose adoption, a campaign unto itself.
Like so many adoptive parents, there were some false starts and some heartbreaks. And then...
What do you mean by false starts and heartbreaks?
Sometimes you get the call, but it turns out it's not the call.
There were a couple times where we'd go to bed thinking that maybe by the next day we might be parents, and then the phone call comes in and a different family was selected or something else happened. I think about 5 times.
Five times?
Yeah.
Then came the call.
I get so worried. Oh, man, I get so emotional every time I talk about it. They're so little. They were like 4.5 pounds. And I remember we walked into the room. We were just frozen. And the nurse said, "Dads, you can hold them."
That joy turned to fear when their son Gus caught RSV, a common virus that can be deadly for infants.
Most parents don't think you're going to be the kind of parent who knows their way around a children's hospital. Yeah. And next thing we know, that's us. The work doesn't ever completely go away. Sometimes we'd have to... take my laptop into the bathroom of Gus's ICU room, close the door, and then put a virtual background on Zoom.
This is the one I made!
These days, Gus and Penelope are hard to keep up with.
How important is this time for both of you?
Well,
it's the best time.
I think for any parent, you're trying to get from task to task to task, and then you gotta stop for a second and realize that these are some of the best and most important parts of your life, not just your day. Hey, dude.
For Buttigieg, work is all-consuming.
We've got laborers, iron workers.
He's the chief project manager and salesman.
This is a big deal.
For the trillion-dollar infrastructure law to help rebuild America's aging roads, bridges, and rails. In April, Buttigieg helped break ground in Las Vegas on the nation's first high-speed train, shuttling passengers between Sin City and the LA area.
In 4 years, a high-speed train will terminate where we're walking right now.
That's the vision, that's the plan. It's ambitious, but you know, America's built on ambitious
aggressive plans to do big things. This is iconic. I mean, this will be one of the cathedrals of American infrastructure.
But then there are other cathedrals collapsing, which we raised in Washington.
You've faced a number of crises as secretary, the congestion at ports, the airline meltdown over Christmas, the train derailment in Ohio, the blowout of the Boeing plane, more recently, the bridge collapse in Baltimore. Do you see a systemic problem here?
When we got here, we were facing the most intense and multifaceted disruption to our transportation systems since 9/11. That was related to COVID, but that's not the only problem. The problem of underinvestment has built up over about 40 years.
If President Biden is reelected, how much longer do you stay on as secretary?
I don't know, and I don't mean that to be a political answer, though it sounds like it. I don't think that I'll break longevity records in this job. I love this job, but I also know that this is a job you can only do for so long.
Is there a world where you see Penelope and Gus living in the White House in 2029?
I don't know about that. That's just not how I'm thinking about even the near future.
Really?
No, if anything, having kids that little makes you think more than anything about the really long-term future, past when I'm even around.
A political wonder kid steps into fatherhood and embraces the unscripted.
When you went on your first date with Chasten, did you ever imagine you would be here today in this place in your life?
Part of what's amazing about falling in love and getting married is that you're in it for this journey that you just don't know where it's going to take you. But I can't imagine I could have asked for anything better. Not that it hasn't been hard, but if you'd asked me that summer night 9 years ago, told me what was going to happen, and this, it would have seemed greedy to even hope to have all of that 9 years later.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Bloomingdale's, Sephora, and Kiehl's. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal, or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Well, now it is on Homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools. And their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Of course, tonight here on CBS, it's the 77th Tony Awards. Bjork Lee already has her Tony. She won a special award in 2017 after a remarkable career as an actor, dancer, choreographer, and director, dating back more than 70 years. She's talking with Mo Rocca.
Five, six, seven, eight.
The 1975 musical A Chorus Line had no stars. Instead, it told the stories of the dancers who hustle from show to show, whose names audiences will probably never know. The show became a Tony Award-winning smash.
Why was A Chorus Line such a big hit?
I think, first of all, we were the first reality show.
Connie Wong, it's our show!
You really think so?
Oh, absolutely. We played ourselves.
I was born in Chinatown, Lower East Side.
Bjork Lee played one of those dancers, doing what they do for one simple reason.
What I did for love.
the theme song that Marvin Hamlisch wrote for us, which is What I Did for Love, really is what it's all about. We love what we do. It's the passion and the dedication and the discipline.
Not what I did to become a star.
Exactly.
The musical was the brainchild of director Michael Bennett, who was known for incorporating contemporary dance moves into his choreography. Take this number from 1968's Promises, Promises, with music by Burt Bacharach and featuring Lee.
It is an extraordinary dance. My biggest question is, how did you actually keep your heads on your necks?
We would go to the chiropractor once a week.
Promises, Promises was Bjork Lee's third show as a Michael Bennett dancer. But her path to Broadway began much earlier, when she was 5 years old and living in New York's Chinatown.
So this is Mott Street. So back, I think, in the 30s, earlier than that, there was only one block or two blocks.
That was Chinatown.
Back then, Lee's world revolved around this two-block stretch, where she went from her Catholic grammar school to the restaurant Wohop, which her father founded in the 1930s.
We are doing the dumplings one ton and picking the snow pea pods and cutting the shrimp beans, you know, every morning.
Do you remember your father doing this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then, in 1951, when Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I, starring Yul Brynner, was casting the roles of royal children, Bjork and her brother ventured uptown to audition.
And there were thousands of kids there, well, it looked like thousands of kids there, and we all got on the stage, and I saw chandeliers, and I saw velvet seats, and I was just mesmerized.
Had you shown any evidence before 5 years old that you might want to be a performer?
No.
Did you take to it immediately, this performing thing?
Oh, absolutely. Ham on ham.
Bjork Lee had found her calling.
And then when you were eight, what happened?
I was let go because I outgrew my costume.
Them's the breaks. So did you go on unemployment?
I went on unemployment. My mother had to pick me up to sign in. Everybody knew me at the unemployment office. Here she comes. She replaced.
For a while, she attended the prestigious School of American Ballet.
Now here I am in The Nutcracker.
Directed by George Balanchine.
Mm-hmm.
The original Nutcracker.
But soon enough, it was back to Broadway.
Then here you are with the great Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes. And here I am here with Tommy Toon.
4'10", 4'10", that's the story of my life.
When A Chorus Line opened, Lee was still only 29, but it would be her last show as a performer.
Opening night, Michael Bennett said to me, "You're going to take this all over the world." And I just looked at him and laughed, you know, really?
He basically handed you the keys.
Yes, he handed me the keys opening night.
Lee was starting a new act in her career. Since 1975, she's helped cast and direct productions of the musical all over the world.
A 5, 6, 7, and a 1, change.
The role of nurturer came naturally to her, as I can attest.
Point, flick, step, kick, tap. Change.
In 2009, Lee co-founded the National Asian Artists Project.
Good to have you.
The goal? Exposing Asian Americans to the joys of musical theater.
This goes this way. Hush now, we blow.
And this 78-year-old isn't just lending her name to the cause. We saw her rehearsing aspiring performers in that Turkey Lurkey dance. And later, introducing them to a crowd of tourists at a Midtown Manhattan hotel.
Push it out.
And in 2017, Bjork Lee earned the Isabel Stevenson Tony Award for her work.
I really cherish this because it is about me helping my community. Not my 12 Broadway shows, not all of the things that I've done. I really take pride in this. Let's do those arms again. Do you know when to do it? Here we go.
Today, Bjork Lee, a child of the stage, has raised more Broadway babies than she can count.
feel like this represents your life's work?
Absolutely. Represents my life's work.
Which isn't done yet.
No. Hold it and freeze. Freeze, freeze, freeze. Good. Cut. Let's do it one more time from the top.
Thank you for listening. Please join us when our trumpet sounds again next Sunday morning.
Scammers are best known for living the high life until they're forced to trade it all in for handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit once they're finally caught. I'm Saatchi Cole.
And I'm Sarah Hagee. And we're the host of Scamfluencers, a weekly podcast from Wondery that takes you along the twists and turns of some of the most infamous scams of all time, the impact on victims, and what's left once the facade falls away.
We've covered stories like a Shark Tank certified entrepreneur who left the show with an investment, but soon faced mounting bills, an active lawsuit filed by Larry King, and no real product to push. He then began to prey on vulnerable women instead, selling the idea of a future together while stealing from them behind their backs.
To the infamous scams of Real Housewives stars like Teresa Giudice, what should have proven to be a major downfall only seemed to solidify her place in the Real Housewives Hall of Fame.
Follow Scamfluencers on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Scamfluencers early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and maybe more importantly, on your life. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Brighten your mornings with CBS News Sunday Morning Merchandise from ParamountShop.com. Shop mugs, sweatshirts, and t-shirts to start your mornings with style. Take 20% off at checkout with code SUNDAY20 at ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all CBS News Sunday Morning products with code SUNDAY20 at ParamountShop.com.
Podcasts.